Welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. Great having you with us. And today I'm speaking to a multi-jurisdictional panel of employment law experts from Baker McKenzie. And they're coming from offices in five different jurisdictions around the world. We've got Miriam de Blaecker, who's partner and head of employment in Amsterdam. Monica Kurnatowski, senior employment partner in London. Johan Boertus, who we've had on the show before, who's partner and head of employment in Johannesburg. Fermin Guardiola, partner and regional head of employment in Madrid, and then Joanna Matthews-Taylor, who's partner and head of employment in Dubai. We're going to discuss how organizations are facing growing pressure to address complaints about inappropriate behavior in the workplace, including cases involving senior executives. We're seeing a lot of this popping up in the news all too regularly, accused of harassment and bullying. These challenges, of course, highlight the critical need to effectively manage these issues and also avoid headline-grabbing allegations that companies need to navigate. And there are a lot of legal complexities around dealing with these complaints, which we want to get into today. And if we could start with Miriam, who's coming to us all the way from Amsterdam. I know there's also been a conference that you've been speaking at. And I just wanted to get a sense of complaints in the workplace. What is the current global landscape when it comes to complaints in the workplace specifically?
Yeah, thank you very much, Stephen. Well, harassment has been around forever, unfortunately, but more recently we've seen, like, every week they're landing cases on our desks, clients where employees have had complaints. It's always like because of the balance in power that maybe jokes, cynical jokes, who are not like nice jokes or perceived as nice jokes by an employee. And what we've seen that Me Too has helped shine a light on it, and also has helped like trade unions and works councils to really like make it a topic and tell employees around the world, do speak up. Lodge complaints, because we need to address this. And employers all over the world are need to make a safe, make sure that they have a safe work environment, but not only that you don't fall off a ladder, but more like psychological safety. And always percentages are nice to look up. And what I've looked up for Holland, we are perceived as very outspoken and at the forefront and not very traditional. But 70% of all Dutch women have been confronted with sexual harassment. And that's struck me really that as a very high percentage. And we really need to raise more awareness about the imbalance of power and also train our executives, HR persons, boardrooms on what is bullying, what is harassment, and how can it be perceived. And, I'll leave it at there.
Yeah, you make a great point. Of course, the exploitation of these imbalances in power, that's the big issue. And if I could just turn the attention to the UK and Monica, what's your experience there?
Yeah, I think a couple of things to mention. So I think it's been high on the agenda, and I think employers over the years have made a lot of strides in terms of tackling this type of behaviour. But I think we've seen, post-COVID, we've seen a generation of people coming into the workplace where the lines between your social life and your work life are blurred. Yeah. And sometimes that has again led to an increase in inappropriate behaviour or the banter or these types of issues. So I think it's not gone away. And then the second thing is that there's been a heightened concern over inappropriate use of non-disclosure agreement. And in particular, and to the extent that it's actually also becoming a regulatory issue for lawyers, actually, in making sure that we are not settling cases inappropriately with gagging clauses on individuals. And I think from an employer's perspective, while there are often still good reasons to settle cases, to reach confidentiality agreements, it's very important to think about the reputational risk of being seen to hush up a concern by making a payment. So employers are very much alive to that risk now, but It's really important to find out what's going on and not just to, you know, pay some money and make it go away.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Of course, in South Africa, Johan, we're seeing the CCMA kind of struggling to cope with the influx of cases, the labor courts, not enough judges, really struggling out there. But where are we with inappropriate behavior in South Africa when it comes to the framework? And does that framework match up to what we're talking about from these other countries?
Very good point and question, Evan. Like many of the jurisdictions, you know, when we speak to our colleagues in other offices, there's no one finite or comprehensive definition as to what constitutes inappropriate behavior in the workplace. You know, it can take various forms from unwarranted sexual harassment, aggression, violence, bullying, other sorts of unwanted behavior. So in trying to understand, you know, what constitutes this inappropriate behavior, it's often important, you know, or typically important that we look at the context. Contextually, we look at cultural, societal, local factors around acceptable behavior. You know, we'll all inform, you know, what is acceptable in a particular workplace. In some cases, you know, there may be gray areas, things that may not be as crisp and clear, you know, with the context, you know, in relation to the parties involved in that relationship, the relative power balance, you know, or imbalance between them, and other similar factors can play a role in determining whether there was unacceptable behavior in a specific incident or context. You know, views on what isn't acceptable has also evolved over time. You know, conduct and language that may have been appropriate, you know, 50 years ago, you know, is no longer so and should not be tolerated in the modern workplace. Elements that fall under that umbrella term of unacceptable behavior in the workplace, you know, our legislature locally has also intervened, and through the Employment Equity Act, there is a specific context given to a type of harassment in the workplace, which is linked to discrimination, the prohibition against unfair discrimination in terms of the Employment Equity Act. You know? And then we look at unwanted conduct that impairs dignity, creates a hostile and intimidating work environment, you know, for employees, you know, and is calculated to, always calculated to actually have the effect of inducing submission, you know, by actual or threatened adverse consequences. And this is the type of behavior that we're saying from a legislative perspective, you know, we should actually all be on the same page and make sure that that sort of thing does not happen in the workplace. And that's where the Employment Equity Act is of a great assistance to us.
Yeah, and if I may add, from an EU perspective, I mean, we clearly have a right in the European Union not to be discriminated. And obviously, clearly, against harassment, we, you know, protected against harassment and with specific characteristics. I mean, it's even interesting that the UK is enforced. I mean, the EU applied these laws, even though they are no longer members of the European Union. But more importantly, I think that the International Labour Organization convention back in 2018, which I think most of the countries here are signatories, they have the clearly recognized in everyone's right to a world of work free from violence and harassment, including the gender-based violence and harassment. So broadly, I think it's just an ongoing situation that is clearly worldwide approach.
That's brilliant, Furman. Thanks for that. That's obviously the EU perspective. Really appreciate that. I think that provides great context. And then if we could just ask Johanna to add to that and the UAE specifically on the same issue.
Sure. So the picture in the UAE is similar to that in Europe and South Africa. The UAE labour law prohibits various forms of discrimination in respect of protected characteristics, including race, religion, gender and disability, which would impair equal opportunities or prejudice equality in obtaining or continuing employment. It also outlaws sexual harassment, bullying or any verbal, physical or psychological violence against an employee in the workplace by their employer, superiors or colleagues. And interestingly, the UAE has also recently updated its anti-hatred law, which signifies a reinforcement of the country's focus of promoting tolerance and fostering diversity. The anti-hatred law is a criminal law and it's primarily aimed at combating hate crimes, but it does contain very broad anti-discrimination provisions which prohibit discrimination on a number of grounds, including religion, belief, race and gender. I think it's also really important to flag the discrimination laws which are applicable in the UAE's financial free zones in the ADGM and DIFC. So these financial free zones have their own employment and legal frameworks in place, which again prohibits discrimination, both direct and indirect discrimination. And in addition, when these laws were last updated, a new sort of provision prohibiting harassment was also added. And harassment is defined as unwanted conduct relating to a protected characteristic that has the purpose or effect of violating the complainant's dignity or creating an intimidating, hostile, degrading or humiliating environment. So look, it's all well and good to understand the framework and the definitions, but I think it's really important. So what does it actually mean for employers? What are the risks and liabilities that employers need to be aware of and consider? So where discrimination or harassment has occurred, employers can be vicariously liable for that conduct. For example, in the UAE, the anti-hatred law expressly states that the company's representatives which include managers or superiors or agents, could be held liable for the acts of company employees where it's established that the representative was aware of the offence. Penalties can also be significant. Again, the anti-hatred law provides for fines of up to $275,000 and imprisonment of up to 1 year. So these are laws with real teeth. Employers can take steps to protect themselves from successful claims. For example, by having clear policies in place and rolling out training to the workforce to make clear the standards that are expected, in addition to swiftly investigating and addressing any incidents where it's alleged that an employee's behaviour has fallen short.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. I just wanted to bring in the increase in litigation around these issues. Are we seeing an increase in litigation in your jurisdiction specifically related to inappropriate conduct in the workplace? So maybe if I can ask Johanna and Johan to comment on that.
Certainly. Evan, we definitely see more prominence, not only in relation to the number of complaints that are filed, but also the number of complaints that then actually go on to dispute stages. So the Employment Tribunal, the CCMA, we certainly see an increase just in relation to the matters that come across our desks of more employees raising these issues and more employees taking these steps further. And that is our sense, generally speaking, as to what the trend is. But I'm interested to hear from you, Jen. I mean, what's the situation in the UAE?
Yes, so in the UAE, but we're certainly seeing an increase in the number of discrimination and harassment-related complaints. There's certainly, I think, we've seen a growing awareness amongst employees over the last few years, possibly triggered by the Me Too movement. We're also aware of a number of discrimination cases raised in the DIFC over the last 12 months, and this includes the first ever race discrimination claim, which is currently ongoing. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that claim impacts the number and the outcome of future cases.
Brilliant. No, thanks very much. Now, I have heard also that there are that you've released what are called complaints challenge cards, and how they yes. can help employers. I think, Miriam, that's your baby, as it were. Maybe tell us what that is. I think that's quite interesting. What are these complaint challenge cards?
Yeah. I don't know if you can see it, Evan.
I do, yes. It looks good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chunky.
It's called complaints challenge. It's a deck. There's case law on 12 jurisdictions around the world. On the one side there's a case, on the other side there's an answer, and there's a beautiful picture of the Rijksmuseum with also, so this is the milkmaid, for instance. Uh-huh. And why did we think of this? Clients said, well, we find it very difficult to have a training, because the training is not interactive, and will stand there, and we feel that not many employees are listening, not taking it seriously. Yes. So we thought, like, make this deck. It's based on facts. So you could ask, well, this and this is the case. What do you think the judge will say? And then you get a conversation started based on facts. And, well, it has proven to be very useful because we first made the deck for the Dutch jurisdiction. And even our government commissioner asked to have a deck to showcase that yeah. how this complaints challenge could work. So, but we all contribute to it. So it's not my, it's my baby with many male and female.
Indeed. Now, well done for getting all that information into, you know, such a succinct format and easy to use. So that looks great. I think that's wonderful. So really appreciate the time. Great chatting to everyone. And also, we'll be publishing this in our publication as well. So thanks very much. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Thank you. Nice to meet you. Thanks, everyone.